You'll turn with me now in your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 5. As we look at 1 Peter, chapter 5, we'll be looking this evening at verses 8 through 11. For the context, we'll begin reading in 1 Peter, chapter 5, in verse 1, and we'll read through 11. So let us hear now God speak to us. As we hear his word, beginning in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 1. The elders who are among you, I exhort. I, who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion but willingly, not for dishonest gain but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. As far as the reading of God's holy word, let us now pray. Our God, we hear these warnings to be sober, to be vigilant. Help us to do so, to learn what that means. Help us to know we do have an adversary, the devil, who seeks whom he may devour. Strengthen us, God. Do that work that you promised to do. Perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle us. And enable us to give you the glory, for it is yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the title for this sermon, Don't Become Dinner for the Devil. Because what Peter says here is the devil is like that roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Now, I'm sure that you've seen a lion, probably at the zoo, perhaps on TV. I've never been in the presence of a lion in the wilderness, and I'm very thankful for that. I can't imagine what that would be like. But picture with me for a moment, being in the wilderness, and the sun goes down. And you know there are lions out there. What would it be like? What would you be doing? I know that I would be listening. Every little sound that was made. I mean, think about it. You can't see anything. Every sound that's made, you're wondering, was that the lion? Is he right behind me? Where is he at? Every little movement and the hairs on your neck, I'm sure, would raise up. Be frightful. Now, in that situation, I don't know anyone who would say, well, the best thing that I can do is just get drunk. Because if I'm drunk, then I'll be more alert. But Peter says, no, no, be sober. Be sober. Not only drunk, as in drunk, not drunk with wine, but sober in your mind and thinking. But the second thing that I doubt that you would do is go to sleep. Let me just take a nice nap here. Probably thinking, I'm not going to wake up from this nap. And so, what does Peter say? Be vigilant. Be sober and be vigilant. Why? You have an adversary. As I was preparing for this message, I told my wife, I said, Satan wants to kill me. And she said, well, yeah. He wants to kill us all. She looked at me like, well, of course he does. He's the one who wants to kill. That's his M.O. I said, no, Satan really wants to kill me. He doesn't want me to preach this message. By God's grace, I'm here. I prayed a lot more this week, I can tell you. God, I should pray like that every week, but I really sense this week, God, deliver me. Bring me here to this place. Satan does not want this message to be preached because it exposes him. He doesn't want you here. He's thankful that there are fewer people here than there were this morning. Pilgrim's Progress talks about two lions as Christian goes up to Palace Beautiful, which is the church, and he's scared to go in the doors. What he doesn't see is that the lions are chained. They can't get to him, but they still frighten him. See, Satan, if he can keep people out of the church and away from hearing about him, that's just fine with him. Satan does not want this to be preached. Now, Peter knows. He knows this adversary. He's had personal experience with him. Remember what Jesus told Peter? Satan desires something, Peter. Desires to sift you like wheat. Jesus doesn't say, don't worry, Peter. It's not going to happen. He says, I prayed for you, that your faith, even in the sifting, may not fail. And afterwards, strengthen your brethren. And here we see Peter strengthening others. He's coming and saying, I'm going to strengthen you, my brethren, who are dispersed throughout Asia Minor, and by extension, us who are here. I'm going to strengthen you so that you also can stand against your enemy. And this enemy has many names here. It says, your adversary, the devil. But he has many names. Satan, the old serpent, the great dragon, Belial, the god of this world, Beelzebub, the tempter, the prince of the power of the air, the one who we're told has the power of death. It's a spiritual being, an angel who was holy but sinned and became the most wicked of all the demons. He is a fierce enemy full of malice and cunning deception. And so this is a warning that I want you to take seriously. Because I think far too often we think, yeah, I know. There's an adversary, the devil, out there. But I don't think too much about him. Now Peter says, you better start thinking about him. Because he's thinking about you. He's thinking about you. He's got a target on the back of God's people. He is one, we are told here, who is like a lion. And he will devour all who are not prepared to persist in the battle against him. He will devour those who are not prepared to persist in the battle against him. And I want to look at two things as we think about our adversary tonight. We as God's people must prepare for the confrontation, and we must persist in the conflict. We must prepare for the confrontation by knowing who our enemy, our adversary, is. And Peter tells us a bit about who the devil is. Your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's walking about, we read that earlier in the book of Job, to and fro on the earth. He's walking about. There's this idea out there that somehow Satan's in hell. No, he's present here on the earth. He will be cast into the lake of fire in the end of the days, but where is he now? He is here. And he hates God, and he hates God's people. Hates. Until he walks about like a roaring lion. He's subtle. He's sneaky. We see that in the garden, don't we? There he wasn't a lion, but a serpent. More cunning than all of the other creatures that were created. From the beginning, he came in with his craftiness. He came to Adam and Eve, and he deceived them. We saw what he was able to do with Job, and he's had a lot of experience since then. So while he cannot read our minds, he's not omniscient or omnipresent, but he's a master at observation. He observes how you respond and react to situations. He knows your weaknesses. He is a master hunter who knows the bait to use. He will bait the trap just for you and draw you in. And he's restless. Think about a hungry lion. A hungry lion is not just going to sit down. He is going to continue on until he is satisfied. He's restless. Revelation 12:10 says that he is accusing the brethren before God day and night. He's restless in his pursuit of God's people. Why? Because we've been freed from him. We've been taken from him. We've been delivered out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of God's dear Son. He can't bring us back into his kingdom, but he'll pursue us nonetheless. He can't bring us back into his kingdom any more than Pharaoh could bring God's people back into Egypt. But what did Pharaoh do? He pursued them. He pursued them to the Red Sea. He's subtle. He's restless. He's ruthless, cruel, and without pity. A lion, as it's tearing apart a lamb, does not pity the lamb. Just tears it apart, consumes it. If we see the picture of Satan and Pharaoh pursuing the people out of Egypt, we see the picture of Satan and Herod killing the children without pity. A lion at least kills because it's hungry. Satan simply does it for the pleasure of doing so. He gains nothing from it. And we're told here by Peter that he is seeking whom he may devour. The word translated devour here is literally swallow down. Swallow down, destroy. You see, Satan wants to see people spiritually dead. He wants to see individuals like the man we learned of this morning depart from Jesus and never to return to him. He's seeking whom he may devour. See, Satan has already been convicted. He knows what awaits him. There's no redemption for him. He is like a convicted murderer in prison without possibility of parole, and he doesn't care how many people he kills. It's not going to change his sentence. And he wants to sift us. That's what Jesus said to Peter. He desires to sift you, to shake you, to rattle you. Now, it's no doubt that Satan will take countless people to hell with him. By God's grace, he cannot take God's people with him. No one can snatch us from God's hand. But let me tell you this. While he cannot take us to hell with him, he can make this life a living hell if we're not ready for him. He can do that. And so what must we do? We must be aware that this is the one we are facing. This is our adversary, the devil. We must be alert. So Peter says here, be sober, be vigilant, be sober. This is literally, do not be drunk. Do not be drunk. Now, this is figurative use. Be sober in your mind, be aware of your surroundings. But I think there's an application here for drinking too much alcohol. Think about it. If you drink alcohol to the point of drunkenness, you're no longer able to think straight. Here's what one commentator says. Being drunk delivers the man in one point of view, bound hand and foot, so far as resistance is concerned, into the devil's hands. And in another, presents him a willing soldier appropriately armed for the devil's service. What a great description that is. Think about it. If you want to just tie yourself up and deliver yourself to Satan to be used for whatever he wants to do with you, go and get inebriated. But this is figurative use. Be sober. Be aware. Just like an intoxicated person would be unable to even know the lion was coming or fend him off, so one who is not aware, sober of mind, thinking clearly, is not going to be able to war against the devil. But be vigilant. It's not enough simply to be sober. But you also can't fall asleep. Again, I gave that illustration earlier. If you knew a lion was out there prowling, you wouldn't get drunk, and I doubt you'd just roll up in your sleeping bag and take a nap. No, be awake, wake up, pay attention, be alert. The threat is real, the threat is serious. Please take it so. Satan does not want you to believe this. He wants you to leave here and think, it's not that big of a deal. Don't leave with that mentality. And let me talk to the elders who are here. What does this say in this context? Verse 2 of chapter 5, shepherd the flock of God. Shepherd the flock of God. Satan wants to tear apart the sheep. Sober, vigilant watching of the sheep is called of you. That is what is called for here. We must be prepared for this confrontation, being aware of who our enemy is, being alert, knowing what he desires to do, but then we must persist in the conflict. We see, secondly, we see that in verses 9 through 11. How do we persist? We persist by resisting the devil. Resist him, Peter says. Resist him. Resist the lies that he tells. He's going to tell you things like God doesn't care for you. Well, you go back to the word, just like our Lord did. Remember in the wilderness? He brought the word. He doesn't care for you. That's not true. 1 Peter 5, 7. Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. That's a lie. Or perhaps God can't help you. God can't help me. No. He is the God of all grace. He is the one who will perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle me. Or perhaps this one, you're too sinful to be saved. No. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I came not for the righteous, but for sinners. So we resist the lies of the devil. We resist the fear that comes that we might fall. Pray to him and finally fall away. We cannot. It is impossible for those who are in Christ Jesus. No separation, because there's no condemnation. We've talked about that from Romans 8. No one will snatch you from his hand. Resist the temptation Satan brings to sin. And all of these things we must do through God's means. We might put it this way: as we persist in the conflict, we must follow the rules of engagement that God gives. And what does he give us here? Resist him, how? Steadfast in the faith. Steadfast in faith. With faith like a rock. Similar to, remember, Jesus talks about building the house on the rock. On a stable foundation, and that stable foundation is the Word of God, which points us to Jesus Christ himself, the living Word. This faith is crucial, this steadfastness in faith. 1 John 5:4 puts it this way: this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? And that includes everything else. Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. He is the way, the truth, and the life. I trust in him, and in him I have the victory already. 1 John 5:18, later on, he says, he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. Remember earlier I used the illustration from Pilgrim's Progress. Christian is coming to Palace Beautiful, which is the church, and he sees these two lions. At first he thinks they're statues until they move. And then he realizes there's danger. But the porter at the gate says, don't worry, come straight down the path. And as he does, he sees they're chained up. They can't touch him. But also in Pilgrim's Progress, there's the illustration of the armor that Christian is given as he goes on his journey and as he meets Apollyon, as he meets Satan himself. And an interesting note is brought out by Bunyan. He says there was no armor on his back. You know, we're to put on the whole armor of God. Read Ephesians chapter 6. There was no armor on his back. Why? Because he was not to turn around. He was not to flee. He was to stand. He was to resist. And he does stand his ground. This is what is meant. Resist him steadfast in the faith. And we can be encouraged to do that because we know we're not alone. That's the temptation, isn't it? To think that we're alone in our struggles, that we're alone. That somehow Satan and all of the world has it out for just us. Woe is me. No one else is struggling with this difficulty. 1 Corinthians 10:13 puts it this way. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear up under it. And that's what Peter brings out here. The same suffering, you know this, the same sufferings that you're experiencing are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. You are not alone. There are others who are struggling and suffering. But how is it then that we can be encouraged to continue to persist in this conflict? Because it's not an easy thing. Well, Peter gives us that answer in verse 10. We rest in God's promises. Listen to this. And this is put here in the New King James Version in the format of a prayer. And certainly it can be that, but it's really a promise. A promise that's given here by the God of all grace, the one who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. And here is the promise. Yes, you may suffer for a while. The word translated a while there is a short little while. You may suffer for a little while, but after this, God, the God of all grace, will perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. This fourfold promise is a beautiful promise I want you to hold on to, especially if you go through trials. Perfect you, make you fully ready for the conflict, arm you. He doesn't send you into battle without all that you need. Yes, we must put it on, but he does not send us into battle without weapons. He's not like some countries have done, sending their young men off to battle, but not funding them. God gives us all that we need for the battle to establish you. He enables us to stand our ground, to strengthen you, enable us not only to stand, but to withstand all of the assaults of Satan. And finally, he settles you, gives you, even in the midst of the conflict, a holy rest, a foundation upon Christ. He puts you, as it were, in the eye of the storm, and it's all swirling around you. But you have rest in Christ. And we know that he does this because he is the God of all grace. The God of all grace. I love this picture, this word that is given to Paul. Paul, who struggled immensely. 2 Corinthians 12:9. Here's what God told Paul. My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. What was Paul's response? Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You want the power of Christ to rest upon you? I do. What does that even look like? I mean, we're talking about the power of the risen Savior resting upon you. That's what Paul says. Paul says that, yes, because the God of all grace is my God, the very power of Christ rests upon me. Satan does not want this power to rest upon anybody because he is powerless against it. You see, he ultimately doesn't stand against us. He stands against the God of all grace. He stands against the power of Christ resting on us. Satan is a chained lion. He can go no further than God allows him to go. He's a muzzled lion. He may walk around, prowl around, but he cannot touch God's people. And so what response do we have? The same response that Peter gives here, verse 11. We persist in this, not only by remembering we are not alone, by resting in God's promises, but by praising God now for the victory. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. This is the God who in Christ has soundly defeated Satan. And will soon, we're promised, crush him under his feet. Whose feet? The feet of his people, the church. He has given us the victory. And as I thought about this picture of Satan as a lion, I thought of another lion. Turn with me to Revelation 5. There's a lion before which this lion flees every time. Revelation 5, beginning in verse 4. John here sees that no one in heaven is able to open the scroll. I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, look, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals." And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent out into all the earth. Then he came, and he took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood. Out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, that have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." This is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lord Jesus Christ. We might put it this way: we can resist and overcome the lion who devours because we are united to the lion who delivers. That's who we look to. That is the one who we trust in. That is the one who we worship. And so, I hope you see here and are warned rightly that you have an adversary who hates you. He hates you. Cunning, sneaky, restless, ruthless. Like a lion, he seeks to swallow, devour people whole. And this foe is beyond your ability to handle. It's beyond your ability to handle. You must look to God for help. But here's the reality. God, who here identifies himself as the God of all grace, the God who has called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, he promises you. He promises you that he will perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. But he also then, in making this promise, calls you to be sober, to be vigilant, to resist the devil, to stand steadfast in the faith. And so here's the danger that I want to warn you of. It is not that Christians are helpless before the devil. We are not helpless. God has given us the whole armor of God. Here's the danger. The danger is that we fail. The danger is that we fail to do what God calls us to do. Be sober. Be vigilant. Resist. Put on the whole armor of God. Pray always. Because if we fail to do this, we become sitting ducks. Satan cannot in any way take us with him into everlasting punishment. But he can have a field day with God's people here on the earth. If we're not aware of who he is, if we're not alert for his way. So be sober, be vigilant, resist the devil, stand firm upon the promises of God. Because he promises to do just what he says here. To perfect, to establish, to strengthen, and to settle you, for he is the God of all grace. And let me tell you this, before the battle, during the battle, and after the battle, you praise this God of all grace. The one who Peter brings out this truth. The one to whom be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Our God, we ask that you would open our eyes The eyes not of the natural world, but our eyes of faith, that we might see truly that we have a great adversary, the devil, who does walk about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Give us the strength and the wisdom. In our weakness, may the power of Christ rest upon us so that we will be sober and vigilant, that we will resist him, being steadfast in the faith. That, God, we would experience the power that comes from you, the God of all grace, as you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle us. And that in all things we would give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.